నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto entitled Creation, chapter number 6 entitled Conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva, text 33. Please repeat. Pragayatah Swaviryani Tirthapadah Priyashravah ఆహూత ఇవ మే శీఘ్రం దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి. ప్రగాయత స్వవీర్యాణి తీర్థపాద ప్రియశ్రవా ఆహూత ఇవ మే శీఘ్రం దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి. ప్రగాయత స్వవీర్యాణి తీర్థపాద ప్రియశ్రవాః ఆహూత ఇవ మే శీఘ్రం దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి. ప్రగాయత స్వవీర్యాణి తీర్థపాద ప్రియశ్రవా ఆహూత ఇవ మే శీఘ్రం దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి. ప్రగాయత స్వవీర్యాణి తీర్థపాద ప్రియశ్రవా ఆహూత ఇవ మే శీఘ్రం దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి. ప్రగాయత స్వవీర్యాణి తీర్థపాద ప్రియశ్రవా దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి. ప్రగాయత స్వవీర్యాణి తీర్థపాద ప్రియశ్రవా ఆహూత మహి శీఘ్రం దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి. ఆహూత ఇవ మే శీఘ్రం ప్రగాయత స్వవీర్యాణి దర్శనం యాతి చేతసి.
माताजी
प्रगायतस्व वीर्याणि आहूत इव मे शीघ्रम् दर्शनम् याति चेतसि। प्रगायतः दस सिंगिंग स्ववीर्याणि ओन एक्टिविटीज तीर्थपादः द लॉर्ड हुज लोटस फीट आर द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल वर्च्यूज और होलीनेस प्रिय श्रवाः प्लीजिंग टू हियर आहूतः called for eva just like me me to me shigram very soon darshanam sight yati appears chetasi on the seat of my heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation: the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant His holy activities. Srila Prabhupada's purport: the Absolute Personality of Godhead is not different from His transcendental name, form, pastimes, and the sound vibrations thereof. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, at once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. Therefore, a pure devotee who is related with the Lord in loving transcendental service can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. It is a natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That is a natural instinct, and the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology, because psychological characteristics visible in the individual souls are but reflections of the same psychology in the Absolute Lord. The only difference is that the Lord is the greatest personality of all and absolute in all His affairs. If, therefore, the Lord is attracted by the pure devotee's chanting of His glories, there is nothing astonishing. Since He is absolute, He can appear Himself in the picture of His glorification, the two things being identical. Srila Narada chants the glorification of the Lord not for His personal benefit, but because the glorifications are identical with the Lord. Narada Muni penetrates into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. Pragayata swavīryāni tīrtapāda priyashravāha āhūta ivame śīghram darshanam yāti cetasi. So Narada Muni is speaking this verse: the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant His holy activities.
ವಂದೇ ಅಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೇ ನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮಿನೆ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವಚ ಪತಿದಾನಾಂ ಭಾವನೆಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ So I am very thankful to Swavas Prabhu for this opportunity to serve all of you. Because of his blessings and mercy, I may be able to speak something beneficial for all of us. So in this beautiful verse, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he mentions that the psychology, it is resembling the Lord's psychology, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, his psychology is similar to the individual parts and parcels. And the way a common person likes to be glorified, the same psychology is in the personality of Lord Krishna. Actually, all the characteristics and psychological aspects in the individual souls come from Krishna only. Like we are very identical to the personality of Lord in terms of quality. Quantitatively there is difference. He is the greatest and we are tiny. He is called Vibhu. He is, you know, the greatest and we are Laghu. And just like in this world we see that if you glorify someone, naturally his heart starts to melt, whoever it is. Sometimes, you know, the wife may be very upset about something and the husband doesn't know what to do. And he simply glorifies two, three, you know, different aspects of the wife, even though he may not mean it. But that little bit of glorification changes the picture altogether. And that is the success rule for all those who are in Grahastha Ashram, that you should glorify each other profusely. And we see, not just in the devotee circle, but even a common person, he gets very easily affected, attracted by the glorification. So there was a merchant who was very, very miserly. He never gave anything to anyone. One day, a beggar came to his house at his door. But the beggar was very intelligent. He knew this principle of glorification. He might have heard in some class. So he saw the person, how he is. And he saw that this person did not have hair. He was bald. Even though he had little bit of hair on one side, little bit on the other side, and little bit on the back side. So he understood that this person needs glorification in terms of hair. So he started to glorify, oh, you have nice, beautiful hair. And others may have hair, you know, in lot of quantity, but you have the right amount that suits your personality. You look so beautiful. You look so dashing, handsome, that I'm so affected by that. I'm impressed. And this person who never gave anything to anyone, his heart melted. And he went inside his house. He brought a big bag of rice and he gave it to the beggar. And when the beggar was going away from his house, he bumped into another beggar. And naturally that beggar asked, "Hey, where did you get such a huge bag?" Then he told that there is this person, go and glorify him. But this person was envious, this second beggar. So he went and told that you have been cheated. He falsely glorified you. So this merchant became very angry. And in anger, he was chasing this beggar. He said, stop, wait, I want my rice bag back. But then this beggar was very smart. He turned back and he said, "Oh my Lord, you are running and because of the breeze, your beautiful hair are dancing. And this vision is so amazing to watch that I feel that my life has been successful today." So this person, he got so happy again that he went back and brought another bag of rice. So we see in this world, always glorification is beautiful. You should always glorify people. And because of glorification, there is a bond of love and bond of friendship. It becomes very easy to establish beautiful relationships in the world. And the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, he is also like that. He loves glorification. You will ask, why would he love glorification? Because Krishna is just like a very beautiful lotus flower. He is the most beautiful lotus, you know. He is compared to the most beautiful lotus in the world. And he is the sweetest. The lotus flower is always glorified. You are the best, you are so amazing, you are the sweetest. The lotus is always wondering that everyone glorifies me, but how can I understand how beautiful I am? So that lotus can look itself in the mirror. But can the lotus taste the sweet nectar in the form of honey in its buds? Is it possible? It's not possible. Only a bumblebee can suck the nectarian honey that is there in the lotus. So that example is given, and that bumblebee is like Srimati Radharani, who is extracting sweetness from Lord Krishna. Or the pure devotees of the Lord, they are always glorifying the Lord. And Krishna always wonders, why my devotees glorify me so much? It is just like sometimes an actor may perform beautiful drama, but can he see it himself? If he wants to understand how he performed, he wants to hear it from someone. And then it pleases him. The same way Lord Krishna, he is always pleased when he is glorified. And we see that pure devotees are doing this job all the time. And that is the reason Krishna likes to always associate with the pure devotees. Because pure devotees are called Bhagavat Guna Darpana. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that they are just like mirrors reflecting all the glories of the Lord. So, when Lord wants to know, when Krishna wants to know how great he is, whom would he ask? He would ask his pure devotees. Just like Garuda, you see always Garuda is facing the Lord. So have you ever asked this question? Why Garuda is facing the Lord? And why Hanuman is facing Lord Shri Ram? So it has a significance. Because they are reflectors of the glories of the Lord. So that's why it is also described. Lord Shri Ram, he is Dakshine Lakshmano Yasya Vametu Janakatmaja Purato Maruti Ryasya Tam Vande Raghunandanam. So Lord Shri Ram, how he is? On the right side of Lord Shri Ram is Lord Lakshmana. On the left is Janakatmaja, Mother Sita. And facing him is Hanuman. Why facing him? Because whenever Lord Shri Ram would look at Hanuman, he would start to glorify Lord Ram. Jai Shri Ram, he would say. That's you know, natural instinct. Whenever Dwarkadish Bhagwan will look at Garuda, he will start glorifying. Oh my Lord, you are so magnanimous. That one time, you remember, I took you on my back and we went to rescue that elephant, Gajendra. He was caught by a vicious crocodile and he was going to die, but he prayed to you. And you are so merciful and you are so powerful that just by one hand, you pulled out Gajendra along with the crocodile. You are so powerful. And then you killed the crocodile and delivered, and on my back you sat along with Gajendra and you took him to your eternal abode. So that is called Bhagavad Guna Darpana. They are always glorifying God, Krishna, and his name, fame, activities. And for all of us, that mirror or that reflector of the glories of the Lord is Srila Prabhupada. Because we never knew the glories of Lord. We did not know the greatness. But because of Srila Prabhupada and his reflections, in terms of all his books, we can understand and we can meditate upon the personality of Krishna. And that's why Krishna loves his devotees. Because whenever he wants to know about him, he only looks at the devotee. That's why Krishna says in Padma Puran, Lord Vishnu says, Naham tishthami vaikunthe yoginam rudayeshu va tatra tishthami narada yatra gayanti madbhaktaha. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse 3 times in the 4th canto, and he translates it as, I do not dwell in Vaikuntha. Lord Vishnu is speaking to Narad Muni. I do not dwell in Vaikuntha, nor in the hearts of yogis. I only dwell where my devotees engage in glorifying my activities. So that is where Krishna always takes the pleasure. And pure devotees are always seeing Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada's example, wherever he went, whenever he had an opportunity, he saw Krishna and he showed Krishna to the world. That's why in Brahma Samhita 5.38 it is said, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Rudayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with salve of love. So it's such a beautifully translated verse. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is so amazing. So he says, the pure devotees see the Lord in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with ointment of love. So that is the reason why we see pure devotees always glorify Lord Krishna. Wherever they are, wherever they go, they are fearless. They have nothing to fear because they are always associating with Lord Krishna. They are never separated from Krishna. They know that Krishna is there in their heart of hearts as Paramatma. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda vit eva chaham. So Krishna says that I am seated in everyone's heart and I give remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. And I am the creator of Vedanta and from the Vedas I am to be known. So, that's why We are never alone in this world. We are always accompanied by Lord Krishna in the form of Paramatma. He is always there in the heart. There is nothing to fear if Lord Krishna is with us and we are the devotees of Lord Krishna. If he gives protection to everyone, why would he not give protection to that person who has dedicated his life to him for his service or for the service of his pure representative like Srila Prabhupada? So, there is a beautiful pastime. Ramanujacharya had a disciple called Govinda who was married. But he was so much happy serving Ramanujacharya that he never went home. He was always busy. So his parents came and he said that we like Ramanuja and we like that you serve him so much. He is a great person. But you are married. You should also spend time with your family. Otherwise, when would we ever get grandchildren? So that's the question of many of the parents. So they were saying that why don't you come home? So he said that when I will become free, when will I will have any free time from the service of Ramanujacharya, then I will definitely come home. So many days and months passed, he never came. Then they came back and they asked, why didn't you not come? He said, from the morning to night, from the night to morning, I am busy. I have no time. So they went to Ramanujacharya. And then Ramanujacharya said, no, Govinda, you should go home and spend some time with your wife. So he went on the order of Ramanujacharya. And then he spent some days with his wife. He came back and then Ramanujacharya asked, so, like I instructed you, did you spend time alone with your wife? He said, I tried, but we always discussed the glories of Krishna. We always discussed Ramayana, because there was never a time that I was alone with my wife, because I always had Krishna in my heart as Paramatma. But then again, Ramanujacharya thought, oh my God. So he said, no, you go and give them grandchildren. So we see that pure devotees have this mood that I have Krishna with me all the time. And there was never a single moment that I am alone. And there is not a single moment when I am not being watched by Krishna. It is like we don't have to fear anything. It is, you know, example is given that the cubs of lion, they are very fearless. They think like they can do anything. They are the kings of jungle. Because they know that their mother is lioness. She is the most powerful. So, and they know that she is watching me and she will do anything and everything to protect me. That's why they are always fearless. And that's how pure devotees always think that if I'm being watched by Krishna, then what is there to fear for? Because who is Krishna? Srimad Bhagavatam says, Krishna is that personality, yasmat bibheti swayam bhayam. Krishna is that person. The fear personified trembles in fear looking at the personality of Lord Krishna. That is Lord Krishna. So, if he is always with us, there is no reason to fear. So there was a Gurukul and the Guru, he gave all his students, all the boys, he gave one mango each. And he said, today I'm going to test you all. Who is the best disciple? So he said that go find a place where no one will watch you and eat this mango and come back. So one boy went far, far away and he ate the mango, came back. One boy went to his room. He closed all the doors, all the curtains, all the windows. He switched off the light and then he ate the mango. One boy went, he thought a lot and then he went inside his blanket and he ate the mango. And all these boys came back. And then this guru asked, so everyone ate the mango? Everyone said yes, except one boy. And that boy had the mango in his hands. He said, Guruji, I tried my best to find a place where I won't be watched. But I realized that there is not a single place, not a single moment when I am not being watched by Lord Krishna. Because He is in my heart, so there is not a single place that I can ever be alone. We are never alone. There was a great saint, Tukaram Maharaj. He wrote a beautiful abhanga. He says, Jethe jato tethe tu maza sangati. Chalavisi hata dharoniya. He says, wherever I go, whenever, you are my best companion. And you are the one who walk with me holding my hand. So Krishna is our best friend. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Surudam sarva bhutana. He is the best friend of every living entity. Just like we see that in the schools, in like middle schools and all, when there are two best friends or two best girlfriends, they want to do everything together. They want to eat together. They want to, you know, talk a lot. And sometimes I have seen that such two very thick friends, very, you know, best friends forever, they want to do everything together so much so that one person has to use restroom, they go together. One person waits outside. I have seen such cases. So Lord Krishna is like that, such a thick friend of all of us, that He never leaves us alone. He is always with us. He is our best companion, the best friend. Then He says, Chalo vat ami tuzhachi adhar, chalavisi bhar save maza. He says that it appears that I am walking any path alone, but I cannot walk any path without your support. Without you with me, I cannot do anything in my life. Chalavisi bhar save maza. And you are the one carrying me from one place to another. You are the one carrying my weight, my bhar. So how beautifully He has mentioned that without Krishna's mercy, without His sanction, we cannot do anything. Even, you know, lifting hand is not possible without sanction of the Lord. We cannot do literally anything without mercy of the Lord. And He is the one carrying us from one place to another. Just like one time, I was in Kolkata. If someone has been there, you know, going to Mayapur, you have to go to that big railway station. It's a huge train station. Has like hundreds of platforms. You know, so it's such a huge station, and we were waiting for a train, and I saw that one lady was carrying a baby. That baby was peacefully sleeping, 2-3 months or maybe 6 months old baby. And this lady was going through all the hustle. She was going through all the hardships. She asked someone, okay, where is the train? When is it coming? Then she bought the ticket. Then she found out that the train is going to come on a platform far away. So she climbed up the ladder. Then she went there. She came down. In the meanwhile, all this time, the baby is peacefully sleeping. The mother is taking care, and she is going through all the troubles. But the baby is peacefully situated. Like that, pure devotees, they always think that we are not the doers. Lord Krishna is the doer, and we are only instruments. We can only facilitate His enjoyment. And we are being carried away from one place to another. We are always protected in the loving embrace of the Lord. And we see that the same mood in the life of Srila Prabhupada. When I was 8 or 9 years old, my brother used to play Prabhupada's lectures. So I remember one time Prabhupada concluded his class. He said that our only business is to preach the message of Lord Krishna. If Krishna sends us to heavenly planets, we will go to heaven and preach. And if Krishna sends us to hell, we will go to hell and preach. So I was so awestruck. I was so much amazed that this is the person I want to follow in life. And I was thinking that this is the person I want to meet, because I was, you know, 8-9 years old. I could understand that Srila Prabhupada has this mood that even if I am thrown in the hellish planet, I do not have anything to fear for, because Lord Krishna is always protecting me. He is always with me. I am never alone. And that is the reason Srila Prabhupada came to New York. When he was about to come, he asked one of his godbrothers. His godbrother said that, Swami Maharaj, you should consider your decision of going to America. You can still go to somewhere in the Europe, in the British country, because we already know Britishers, because Britishers were there, and India got freedom from Britishers. Indians had experience dealing with Britishers, you know, and that culture. So it will be easy for you. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, my godbrothers have already tried going to Europe. Some of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, they had gone there and tried to preach there for 25-30 years, but they could cultivate only a couple of Britishers. And they were also, you know, hardly transformed. But Srila Prabhupada said, I will go to America. But they were saying, that godbrother said, America is most difficult. Because you can imagine, in the 1960s, it was full of hippies and so many people. There was no culture, and it was going through a turbulence. But Srila Prabhupada said that it is Krishna's plan. It has to be Krishna's plan, and I want to go to fulfill the desire of my spiritual master. And then Srila Prabhupada was staying in Boveri. So in 2015, I was so curious that I want to see where Prabhupada was staying. I want to see and walk the same roads that Srila Prabhupada walked. So with so much of excitement, I went there. But that place is completely, you know, you can't be there. It's very hard to even walk there. So those of you who have been there, in the year 2015, I was frustrated. Imagine in the year 1960s and 70s. When I was there in 2015, there were, you know, so much of dirt on the road, you know, so much of trash, and there are so many massage parlors, women trying to ask you, I'll give you massage and stuff. In the year 1960s, it was practically a hellish planet. And Srila Prabhupada walked alone. Not a single companion, not a single disciple or godbrother. He walked alone, just like a lion would walk. He walked in that place, and I was so shocked. But how could he do that? And the answer is because he was always with Krishna. He is connected to Krishna in the heart. Santa sadaiva rudayeshu vilokayanti. And the pure devotees have this quality, that they can turn any situation, any reversal, they can turn it, and they can use it for the service of Lord Krishna. So in those days, Srila Prabhupada was dealing with all kinds of people. Hippies and people who used to break the regulatory principles practically every day. Srila Prabhupada used to cook for them. And he mentions in one of the letters that, I used to make chapatis. Making chapatis for 4 people, my mother used to always complain. Just imagine Srila Prabhupada making chapatis for 40 people or more, and everyone was eating 4 chapatis. And they wanted more. They were so happy eating that prasadam made by the pure devotee of the Lord. But Srila Prabhupada never complained. And he went on single-handedly. That is so hard, if you see. And at the end, people used to just you know, throw the plates here and there, and they just used to leave. But Srila Prabhupada used to pick up those plates, and he used to wash those plates. And one person, you know, he stayed late one time. And then he saw that Swamiji is doing all the work alone, so he just offered help, you know, just as a formality. That, Swamiji, do you want some help? And Srila Prabhupada mentions that, I was so happy that one person was ready to help me in my mission. Otherwise, not a single person was even offering help. But Srila Prabhupada never stopped. There was no help, but Srila Prabhupada went on alone, single-handedly. That's the mission of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Sri Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada had full faith that even though these people may right now appear to be crazies, they may be socially outcast, they may be looking, you know, completely weird and disheveled condition, but Srila Prabhupada always saw the spark of Krishna consciousness, and he fanned that spark. When you have a tiny spark, and if you fan it properly, then it can ignite into a huge fire. Just like one time, Ramanujacharya was with his disciples. He was seeing the procession of Lord Ranganath in Srirangam. Because in all the South India, there is a culture that all the deities, they come out of the temple on a procession, they go in the evening walk. They go all around the town and they come back and then they go to sleep. So this time in the evening, all the people, they were standing outside. And that's etiquette there. People come out, they leave behind their work, they come out, they greet the Lord, they see the procession and then they resume their work. So one time Ramanujacharya saw that all the people on the street, they are looking at the beautiful face of the Lord, Ranganath. But there was only one person who was looking at a woman. And he was completely in Samadhi Avastha. He was completely happy, just staring at her. And he was holding an umbrella for that woman. That lady was looking at the Lord. Everyone was looking at the Lord, but this person, Dhanurdhar, he was holding umbrella and happily looking at this lady. And Ramanujacharya asked the disciples, who is that person? So out of all these people, Ramanujacharya picked up that person who was situated in lust. And he said, go and call that person. So the disciples went and, you know, they had to disturb him out of his samadhi. And they brought him to Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya said, how can you be so shameless? You are not looking at the Lord and you are looking at this lady. So he said, he was straightforward. You know, he was like, I don't have to hide anything. I like her. I'm watching. And if you don't like, you don't watch. So he was like, you know, I'm doing what I want. He was very straightforward person. So he said to Ramanujacharya, he said, I have never seen in my life a more beautiful pair of eyes. So Ramanujacharya said, do you want me to show you a more beautiful pair of eyes? Then he said, 100%, if you show me, then I will surrender to you. Then he said, tomorrow morning, Mangalarti, Ranganath, Srirangam temple, come to Mangalarti. And then this person came. And then Ramanujacharya, you know, grabbed him by his hand and he took him on the altar inside. And then he was offering the arti. Then he lit up the lamp and he was glorifying the beautiful face of the Lord. He first glorified the beautiful activities and the pastimes, his beautiful holy name. And then he started to glorify the beautiful face of the Lord. And that time he brought the lamp close to his lotus face. And then Dhanurdhar saw that beautiful face of the Lord. And in the presence of Ramanujacharya and hearing the glories of the Lord. And then he started to shake and the tears came from his eyes and he surrendered. He clinged to his lotus feet. And he said, from today, all my remaining breaths are yours. All my life is yours. So all the people thought, what a great person is Ramanujacharya. He saw good in that person who was ridiculed by others. So Srila Prabhupada did exactly the same thing. People had completely given up, had no hopes on these hippies and, you know, like Westerners, how would they follow Krishna consciousness? But Srila Prabhupada saw that they are also children of Krishna. Why should they be bereft of Krishna consciousness? So Srila Prabhupada came. And then this Ramanujacharya, he later on got Dhanurdhar married to that lady for whom he was holding umbrella. Her name was Hemamba. So they got married and they both served Ramanujacharya. And we see exactly in the life of Srila Prabhupada, many of his initial disciples, they were living together with girlfriends and boyfriends. So Srila Prabhupada got them married and he engaged them in Krishna's service. So that is the greatest quality of a pure devotee of the Lord, that he always sees good in others. He never sees anything bad. He never criticizes. And he only believes in fanning the spark of Krishna consciousness within the heart of every living entity and turn them into Param Bhakta Vaishnavas. And many of them are here with us, the direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So I'm really humbled and I'm really grateful to all the direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada in their association. So Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Any questions? Any questions or comments? Oh.
Prabhu, thank you very much for your very nice class. You tell very nice stories and quote nice verses and speak about Srila Prabhupada and some of his pastimes as well. So it's very well balanced.
Thank you.
Very easy to follow. I wanted to, just some clarification. I wanted to make sure I didn't misunderstand something that you said, please. In the very beginning, you said that a husband, he has a wife, and if the wife is upset about something, that we can say very nice things about her and glorify her, even if we don't mean it. So did I misunderstand this, what you said? And if you did say that, could you tell me, like, where you may have heard such a thing, that, yes, to glorify and to say nice things, that's understood, but to say that even if you don't mean it.
Okay.
Could you clarify this for me, please?
Yeah, I can explain it to you. Thank you. I came to this. Srila Prabhupada emphasized on this concept that you should sometimes, you know, the process of Krishna consciousness, we do things which we don't really are convinced about. Like one time, Garga Muni Prabhu, when Prabhupada said, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, everyone bowed down. Like everyone went down. But Garga Muni Prabhu, he was thinking, why should I bow down? I don't feel like bowing down. Why should I bow down? I will bow down when I feel like bowing down. So later on, he asked Prabhupada, what should we do? So Prabhupada said, no, first you do this act, and then the feelings will come. And many times it happens in life that we sometimes know that this person is nice, even if he has flaws. But giving glorification, you know, sometimes you may not mean it. But even if glorifying a person for what is good in him will bring him to a platform from where you will actually be appreciating and glorifying that person. It is even said in, you know, the general management people, you know, they give the big talks for self-help and all. They say that best managers are those who are always giving confidence and glorification. Even though they see faults, but ignore that. And I have seen practically in the life of, like, Srila Prabhupada, he always did that. And especially in Grihastha Ashram, the psychology of the husband and the psychology of the wife, they are completely different. You know, and Prabhupada, he mentions in some of the letters that how Grihastha should behave. To Sankarshan Prabhu, I think specifically he mentions some of the, you know, principles in Grihastha Ashram. So sometimes wife should not complain, even if wife may think that this is not going good. But if she only resists the idea of complaining to the husband, then that will really make the Grihastha Ashram beautiful. Because women, by nature, they have a tendency to complain. So Srila Prabhupada mentions these some pointers, you know. And husband should be understanding, because he mentions, I'm just trying to paraphrase, he says that all husbands, if they just give some nice words to the woman, to the wife, then she easily becomes happy. Women are very simple minded, and they sometimes don't need big things. All they need is that they want to be cared for. They want, every woman wants to be cared for. She never wants to be unwanted. She never wants the feeling of being unwanted by someone. So she always needs attention. And even Chanakya Pandit, there are some verses, he says how to have balance in the Grihastha life.
So is it okay for me to think then that you didn't mean to say, even if we don't mean it, but to say, even if we weren't feeling it?
Yeah, see, in
because
our...
to say we don't mean it, and this is just to me, it's, to me it's pretentious, to me it's artificial, to me,
yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, I'm just trying to get some clarification.
Yeah.
And in relationships with people, it's, that's what my understanding is from my own training.
Yeah.
Your question. You want people to feel special, but I know with myself, sometimes I don't feel it, but I just try, and I just try to be sincere and say something nice, even if I'm not like feeling it.
So ask Prabhu, man. He will give better answer.
I don't think we need to get this deep into this. It's very simple. A husband can say to his wife, "You're the most beautiful woman in the world."
Yeah, exactly.
Is that true? Prabhupada says nobody's the most beautiful, only Krishna is. But the husband says that to glorify his wife, to show his affection.
Yeah.
And that may be a white lie.
Yeah.
Because she's probably not the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the wife may say, "Oh, you are the most handsome person and the most best provider in the world." That's untrue. There's so many that probably could do better. And we know that. But the wife says it. Why? So yeah, sometimes the husband and wife say little things that are a little bit exaggerated in order to make the person feel good, even though they may know that that's not true. So let's not get this carried away and get into semantics. It's just conversation for glorification and inspiration. And that, so a devotee is going on book distribution, talk to Bhrigapati. He'll say, "Wow, man, you are really cool." And how would you know if she's cool, he's cool or not? You're saying these things to make the person feel good. And it may be a little bit what you would call a little bit of a exaggeration.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. Even the wife knows I'm not the most beautiful woman in the world. Or the husband knows that he's not the most handsome guy that ever came out. Come on. We all know that. Let's not take this so deep and so unnecessary. It's just understood that we try to do this for glorification, for making someone feel good.
Yeah.
And even though you may not totally mean it, and you know you don't, you say it because you want her to feel good.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's not complicated. We're complicating this thing.
Yeah, very good answer. Ultimate aim is to uplift the person. That is the aim. And one time, you know, Srila Prabhupada was telling, there are 12 Mahajanas. So one person from the audience said, Srila Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. And what did Srila Prabhupada say? He said, you are the 14th. Someone gives you glorification, you give it back. It doesn't mean that he is 14th Mahajan, because he never showed up later. So its ultimate aim is to give confidence and love and respect to the devotee.
I'm the most fallen. You know, what do you say? Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are the most fallen. And that person really feels
Yeah, exactly. No one feels that he is the most fallen. Otherwise, he will be a pure devotee. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Granth Rashi Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.